I gotta let knowledge be heard.
All right. You're tuned into another edition of Highlander Newsroom, hosted by myself, Miles Andrews Duvay, editor-in-chief of UC Riverside's Highlander newspaper. And at the roundtable today, we have...
This is Jasper Rico, the assistant photo editor.
Evan Ismail, news editor.
Andreas Rausch, assistant news editor.
Yeah. First time, Andreas. Welcome.
I'm excited.
Yeah. How you feeling? It's good. You did just say you're excited. Yeah, I'm sorry. That's a question time. But yeah. but yeah.
I gotta listen.
Yeah. Glad to have you here, all of you here. You too, Jasper. I know you're leaving us in the school soon. So
this
is not only the last newsroom for the academic year, but your last one ever.
So
you're breaking my heart, Jasper.
Yeah.
Sad too, but I'm glad to be here with you guys.
Yeah. Again, glad you guys are here. And we are going to keep it pretty light. I mean, for the most part, right? We're going to get into some touchy stuff first, talk about our editorial in issue 30, but then we're going to talk about the summer, talk about the year as a whole, kind of reflection kind of thing. But let's start with our editorial, right? If you turn to, this is 31, right?
Yeah, issue 31.
Man, wow.
Issue 31. Last issue of the year.
Forgot, yeah. The last issue of the volume, yeah, of the year. We do have our summer issue coming out on the 27th of June, but this is the last issue of volume 65, and it is editorial on the recent, I guess, influx of, or recent incidents of sexual assault cases on or near campus, and it's titled, It's Time We Strengthen Our Approach to Preventing Sexual Assault. Basically, there's been two recent incidents, but a multitude of them over the course of the year. But recently, like as in May, right? May 14th, a girl reported that she had been sexually assaulted by a driver of a ride sharing service near the UCR Plaza apartments. And then on May 25th, a woman reported that she was sexually assaulted by a man that she met on a meetup service, similar to like Tinder, similar to like Bumble, things like that. And these happened in the wee hours of the morning, 2 o'clock in the morning, 1 o'clock in the morning. And there were other incidents, right? I mean, we didn't mention it in the editorial, right? But the other one, I forget when it happened exactly, what the month or day was, but the one that struck me was when the woman woke up to a man in her apartment.
Yeah, that one was really frightening.
Or in her room, actually.
Yeah, in
not
her
just
room.
Her apartment,
yeah.
Just standing over, over her bed
yeah.
At like 6 o'clock in the morning. And that still, there's been no update or development on what exactly that was. But these are things that are happening literally across the street from where we're recording right now, right? Literally across the street from campus, in campus apartments, right? Or near campus apartments. So, yeah, and like I said, the editorial, we say it's time we strengthen our approach to, I guess, how we talk about sexual assault. How do we create an environment in which these things aren't happening, even if it's not from students or not from administrators, but people just, you know, near campus. So do you think there's something that UCR can change? Any of you guys can speak on that? Yeah.
I think that it's really important that we start maybe keeping these escort services open later. I know it mentions in the editorial that some of these escort services, they close, you know, either at midnight or before midnight.
11:30. Yes.
Sunday through Thursday. Close at 11:30. That's really early. I mean, I know that there's some times that where I'm out well past 11:30, well past midnight, 1 o'clock. And even though I've never felt exactly afraid when I walk home, it's always something that I think that we should keep in mind, that maybe we should have something that's open later for students to take advantage of, especially if they live far away, because I have some friends, you know, who are in the library studying, and, you know, they live, you know, a couple of blocks away, about a mile away, and they're walking home at, you know, 1 a.m. I can see where that would definitely be a little bit unnerving. So I think that it's always good if we had, you know, at least somebody that's willing, you know, some organization or some escort service that's open later to escort people home much later, that maybe live a little bit further away than just the residence halls or Glenmore or something like that.
Yeah, and I think the furthest escort services go is to, is that Stonehaven?
I believe so, yeah.
Right? That's the name of that complex, right?
Mm-hmm.
The one,
campus.
Yeah, right on the corner of Blaine and Canyon Crest.
Yeah.
And I believe that the escort service that we do have on campus, it's a volunteer-based position, correct?
Yeah, I believe so.
Mm-hmm.
So in, my thought is, why can't we have some funding, right? Or, you know, start paying some more maybe students or whoever might be who wants to apply for this position so we can even expand it, right? So maybe the reason why they can't have it on Fridays and Saturdays and later is because they can't find people to volunteer for these positions. But I definitely don't see a problem in investing some funds and keeping our students safe. Especially for me, I think, especially being a girl, I, again, haven't felt in danger very often just because I'm biking or I do take the precautions not to be on my phone at 2 a.m. in the morning or be by myself. But I think that's also, on one hand, kind of ridiculous that we need to feel, that we feel unsafe, right? That even though, unfortunately, these things do happen where people do get sexually assaulted and I completely am disgusted by, we ourselves as a school need to take a priority, right, in taking care of our students first and their safety. And I feel like there's a lot that can be done on the side of UCR, UCPD, whoever it might be, to help even increase the amount of protection that we have.
I think one of the things, you know, first of all, building off what all of you mentioned pretty much was that the escort service is not open Fridays and Saturdays. We all know that those are times when there's parties. Those are when most events are going on where people are likely to stay out later. So I definitely agree with you guys in terms of increasing or actually providing funding to the escort service. However, I think the school should go farther. I think they should offer training, you know, maybe schedule it 2-3 times a month, offer training on how to deal with potentially dangerous situations, potentially risky situations. So that could be anything from offering self-defense classes to, you know, de-escalation classes, being more aware of your surroundings, because you know, even if you're being escorted, it's only going to go so far. I think everybody needs to be aware of their surroundings and needs to be able to, when there's no one else there to help you, needs to be able to protect themselves, because so far we have a lot of resources devoted to helping survivors of sexual assault deal with what happened to them. But we definitely need more in terms of preventing horrible crimes like this.
Yeah, that's kind of the approach we took too, is that like preventative and proactivity needs to be more pertinent than, you know, reaction, right? Like sending emails after the fact, sometimes a day or two after the fact the incident has happened, right? Which doesn't really do much to solve the issue or solve any others from being prevented further. It's definitely an interesting subject to tackle from, or I guess even a difficult subject to tackle. Issue to tackle, not subject, if from the administrative perspective, from perhaps the UCPD perspective, because it is something, especially if it's recurring, that speaks to a kind of broader kind of societal, cultural, attitude toward, toward harassment, right, which is where it starts, and then assault. So you look at that. Okay, this is something that's broader than just the campus. If you're an administrator, but at the same time, you can also say, okay, that works to our advantage that we do kind of have a smaller, pool to work with. Right, we're not trying to fix the world's problems or the country's problems or even the city's, but just this campus and what can we do. And I think there are definitely the resources available, whether it's UCPD providing their own kind of ride sharing service for the times and days in which the escort service at UCR is not operating, or maybe collaborating with the Riverside Police Department, right? Because if you are partying, as you said, Andreas, and you're like not near campus per se, but you know, in the Riverside area, maybe that extends beyond UCPD's range of scope, basically, but maybe Riverside PD can work with UCR to do something like that. You know, I mean, we don't obviously know what the money that goes behind things like this, but I think there are nevertheless resources that can be put in place, even if it's as simple as a freshman orientation workshop or a yearly workshop or more events that speak about this issue, right? Because that preventative and reactive attitude is similar just in regards to how often the discussion is just had in general. Like, it's just not something we see on campus a lot in terms of that, hey, sexual assault is a real issue. It's a recurring thing on campus, in dorms, right? And it happens a lot on college campuses. It's not really something I see at UCR or hear talked about a lot until like incidents like these happen. So I think having that be more at the forefront, especially for freshmen coming in and even returning undergrads and graduate students, would be beneficial. Yeah,
I mean, I agree with you. I think that it's really it's really good that if it is at, you know, something like freshman orientation, or it's just like a short email, or it's a module, whatever it is, to just provide really basic reminders. You know, like when you're taking an Uber, be really conscious of your of who your driver is. I mean, in the editorial, we suggest that making sure that the license plate is the same as in what's presented in the actual app when the driver comes to pick you up. That's another one. I mean, you know, when you're walking home, make you know, maybe don't have your music on. Don't be on your phone, especially if it's late at night. Just basic things like that to make sure that you present yourself as less of a potential victim than somebody who's distracted or somebody who doesn't really know. I think those are also some places to start, to just let people, just basic, just small reminders to let people know, like, hey, these are some things that you could be doing just to make yourself safer. And I mean, I think those are some places to start.
Well, I think it's that, but I think more than small reminders, because it's like, we have to keep in mind, these incidents that we're talking about are from people off campus, right? Like, the perpetrators are people off campus, not students, but students do this, right? And I think talking to incoming freshmen, and the broader undergrad community, and particularly men, right? And having workshops that say, that explicitly state, like, this is an issue, this is, you should not do this, here's why you don't do this, this is what is considered assault, this is what is considered harassment. You know, having that in place, I think, would be necessary. I mean, you go to orientation, it's like all this colorful school pride, UCR pride, Tartan pride stuff, which is cool. But a lot of it doesn't really reflect what happens. Like, I remember, like, I came to campus, it's like, okay, that's totally not like what orientation was, but okay. Right. A lot of it doesn't reflect what goes on in a day to day, in your day to day, especially in your first year, when you're living, especially if you're living in dorms too. Right. These are issues that come up consistently and constantly, and only some of them get addressed. Only some of them we hear about, but,
And that's actually a point that I wanted to mention, that yes, we need to educate our students on how to be safe and the awareness and how to take care of yourself and things like that. But I think it's even more important, again, not accusing our students of anything, but even knowing themselves, they themselves knowing what harassment and sexual assault is. Because there have been times where I've heard stories from fellow classmates and friends who say, you know what, I don't know if this was sexual assault. I don't know if this was harassment. And I can tell you very clearly that it was. So even having those conversations, not just, hey, how can the victim take care of themselves? But how about bringing awareness to the fact that people shouldn't be doing this in the first place, right?
Yeah.
And this goes for both sides, whether that be male or female, that we, you know, we ourselves know what this, where the line is, right, in this case. And again, it is a very touchy subject, but I think it's important to educate people and have them realize from the beginning, hey, this is not okay.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. I mean, you know, at freshman orientation, as first year, I remember freshman orientation pretty clearly. And the only thing in the 2 days that even remotely revolved around sexual assault was a 2-minute video about how you shouldn't make somebody, quote unquote, drink tea. So I think that if we kind of maybe made it more of a talking point, maybe actually spent a little bit more time on it, because, you know, as a freshman, you know, this is really the first time you're probably going to be spending, I mean, I'm assuming, but this is probably the only time that you're going to be spending a lot of time away from home. You're on your own for the first time. You maybe may not know a lot of these things. So I think it's really important that if we, you know, actually spend more time, start talking about it, and start treating it like it doesn't really happen. Because I think that, I mean, with a short 2-minute video that vaguely even remotely suggests sexual assault is not going to help. I think that we need to have a very frank, very open and honest conversation about this, and let people know that, you know, this is what happens, this is what you need to do, you know, and just really educate people. Because, I mean, a short 2-minute video about tea is not going to help a major issue.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to add on to that too. One of the things I can recall from my freshman year was, especially being part of a fraternity as well, was going through online modules. And you know, I'm actually pretty disappointed that that's seen as like a good way of educating people about these topics, because, you know, first of all, the module is extensive, but it doesn't really present the information in a relatable way. It's more of a sort of click through it and get over with it kind of thing. And I think if you really want people to take in all these lessons and to learn from these experiences, you need to, like Evan said, not present in a video or not in a module, but actually, you know, present it personally, make it relatable, answer questions, because having somebody click through it is not teaching anyone anything, and it's just wasting time and money.
Yeah, and for the employees who work for the UCs, even student employees, were required to take a sexual harassment and prevention training exam. And basically, this online exam is about 40 minutes to an hour long, and they give us real-life examples of things that have happened to UC employees. And actually, they've done actually a pretty good job, even being very, again, frank and transparent with what sexual assault is and how you can take care of it. And I'm not saying that this is an exam that everyone should... Well, I think it's an exam that everyone should take. I'm not sure how they would, you know, incorporate it into our school system. But again, there definitely needs to be something more than just, again, as Evan mentioned, a two-minute video that's kind of like almost like a kiddish version of like, oh, this is like consent, this is sexual assault. There needs to be something very straightforward. And everyone should know very clearly from the beginning what this is, and yeah, how they to take care of themselves, and also even how to prevent it.
Yeah, and we have to have an environment, I think, that encourages you know assault victims and harassment victims to report it, right? Yeah. Because that's underreporting is a major issue. I believe numbers show like 75% of them go unreported, and then only 25% of those that go reported actually result in an arrest of the perpetrator. So it's a significant issue, and those kind of things, reporting these things, get the discussion going, as we've talked about, is a necessary thing. So but anyhow, any additional thoughts before we
I just wanted to add on to that too. You know, at the end of the day, here and now, we're living in probably the most welcoming environment in history for people who have experienced traumatic incidents. And so I would just encourage everybody to really reach out to people.
Yeah.
There's tons of resources on campus. You know, we've been talking about preventative resources, but, you know, if you have experienced sexual assault or harassment, there are fantastic resources on campus that we have here. And so I highly urge everybody to speak up and to not have to like carry that burden yourself, because there's people to reach out to.
Yeah,
it's
absolutely.
Yeah, it's just I don't know. It's just such a big issue.
It is. Really,
and I think
is.
Like it does not help that, you know, we have a president in office who is openly, you know, degraded women. Right. It kind of creates. It contributes or exacerbates the culture in some ways too.
Yeah.
If we're being honest, and so. It's a broader issue than the UCs, and especially broader than UCR. But, you know, doing what we can here on campus would be excellent.
Yeah, definitely. Again, reach out. Don't be afraid. It's not your fault. I just want to share a quick story. Actually, yesterday, one of my friends that I'm somewhat close to, I heard from her roommate that she was sexually assaulted. And I'd rather not go into the details, but basically, she was telling me that our friend was very hesitant on reporting it because she wasn't sure of the situation too much. She didn't really want to make a big deal out of it. But I was telling my friend, you need to tell her to follow through with this, because things like this, and I'm speaking to anyone and everyone who's ever been, you know, assaulted or sexually harassed, it's never your fault. And the best thing you can do, as, you know, Andres said, is reach out. There's so much, you know, so many resources, so many people here to help you, and we're never going to blame you because it's never your fault.
We should also say, in regards to transparency, it does start at the top, right? Because the UCs, we did have an editorial earlier in the year about the sexual assault allegations and cases that just went unreported completely from the UC administrative side, right? Like graduate students and faculty members. And that does not encourage an environment of, hey, this is something we can openly talk about. So it starts it's a very leveled discussion, right? And probably a bigger one than we have in this 30-minute time frame that's allotted. But yeah, I think we've covered the bases there. You guys want to get something lighter? Talk about the year.
Well, let's change things up a little bit.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Well,
I mean, I'm down to talk about the year, but I doubt it'll be lighter.
Okay.
Oh dang.
we'll talk about it. Okay. Right. So how will you remember? Because the academic year, right? And we're not talking about just 2016, but the academic year as a whole has been, I think, one of the most active and eventful ones in recent memory, especially politically, right?
Yeah.
So. Yeah, at very many levels, right? The region level up to the presidency and broader. So, talk about it, Andres. How you remember it? Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, academically, this year was okay. It was my second year. I enjoyed it. I got more involved. And also, as a piece of advice to any younger people who are listening out there, definitely enjoy your first year, but please get involved your second year because you'll thank me for it later. But in terms of extracurricular stuff, or I guess not really extracurricular, but outside of UCR, the elephant in the room is Donald Trump, and the fact that this has actually been a pretty horrible year around the world. In terms of there's been a lot of terrible events happening, lots of violence, lots of problems with the environment and climate, just to put that out there. So I hope that this next year is better. One thing that has been really inspiring is seeing the student response to all of these things, because we have lots of great organizations, lots of really passionate students on campus who devote their time to making the world a better place. So that's just my take.
Oh, okay. I guess just jumping in. First of all, I just want to get a little response to what you said. Enjoy your first year by getting involved. I think that in my 4 years here being at UC Riverside, the reason why I enjoyed it so much was because I got involved. From my first year, I didn't know exactly what I wanted to do. And I was like kind of this like awkward, sort of introverted potato freshman. But I realized that I was able to kind of grow out of my shell and get out of my bubble because I was involved. So, yeah, if you're in your first year, second year, third year, whatever it might be, fourth year, going to your fifth year, that's fine. Jump in, find your passion, get involved. But I guess I just want to talk a little bit more about locally things at UCR, especially since it is my senior year and being more involved with a newspaper. I jumped onto the board this year with the Highlander newspaper. And I've been able just to see a lot of even growth within our little team in itself. And one of the biggest things that we were campaigning and really talking about this year is the Highlander referendum. And as you may or may not have heard, we were short by 34 votes. So kind of just throwing this out here, for next year, vote for us. But really, overall, I think what I'm really impressed with is just seeing the teamwork that the Highlander puts in creating a paper every single week. And even though we might not be a daily paper like some other universities, I'm really impressed, honestly, with the work that we do put out. And even just covering real, genuine news, things that happen on campus, in the nation, wherever that might be. And even just, encouraging you guys, pick up the paper, read it, maybe if that's just one article a week, whatever it might be. And even find ways you can get involved. If you're passionate about news, passionate about sports, whatever, photos, photography, design, come and jump right in. I just feel that the Highlander newspaper has kind of been even a home for me in the sense of on campus where I've met people that I definitely would have not talked to if it wasn't for the Highlander newspaper. So I didn't expect this reflection of the year to be so centered on the newspaper, but definitely I think it's appropriate in the situation environment that we're in right now.
I completely agree. Reflecting on my first year, I was really, really hesitant to come to college. Like I said, a little bit back, it was my first time from really actually being away from home and actually having to take care of myself. I've always been kind of independent, but this was like the time when you actually have to go out there and just, it's all you this time. So, I got right involved. I just wanted to, just have things to occupy my time because, when I don't have things to keep me busy, I feel really lazy and I want to stay busy. So, I got on at the newspaper, I got on at a couple of the other clubs, and I literally just filled up all my time, which is, it's a good thing. I mean, I would definitely encourage that. Just like Jaspery, I've been at the newspaper since literally the first week of college. So it's definitely been a part of my life since my first, since my entire first year. And I have to say that it's probably been one of the most memorable. I really have enjoyed every moment from the very, very, very long hours on Sunday putting the paper together to just writing and talking to people and editing and doing all this stuff. I've met a lot of really amazing people. I've met a lot of really amazing faculty members and, you know, local leaders and people like that who I would have never have talked to otherwise. And so it has really been a really important part of my life, in this past year. So I would definitely encourage anybody, like Jaspery said, we have meetings. So if you want to come on by, we'd love to have you.
Yeah. Yeah. And I second that, third that, I guess, yeah. Since you seconded it. Yeah. But, yeah, no, it's definitely been a very, as I said at the top, is a very interesting, eventful year to be a college student, particularly a UC college student. So it's I don't know, like, what one thing. I think protests will definitely stick in my mind when I think of it back on the year. I mean, the year was interesting. I mean, for me personally, like, it started off, at least personally in regards to news and reporting and stuff, like, it started off with family housing demolition and working down that all summer. And, you know, that's kind of coming full circle, with that eventually coming to an actual demolition during the summer, right? But then you have that. You have, again, Trump's election and being out there the night of the inauguration and seeing students, 300, 400 students at the bell tower just an hour after he was inaugurated. And that night in and of itself was fun to be in the newsroom in a way, right? Just to be covering things so actively. You were there, Evan, right?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It was maybe 3-4 of us were in there actually doing writing, whatever, putting together a whole elections issue, following the local elections. That was, you know, it was a fun night, despite, at least personally, despite the person who got elected. But yeah, and now I remember that. I remember the numerous things that followed, whether it was No DAPL, whether it was the actual attempted protests at the ASCCR meetings, right, in regards to judicial council members trying to be, removed from their seats. And, yeah, I remember our campaign for the referendum, which, as you mentioned, did not go as planned. At least the result was not as desired. But, yeah, it was just a very fun and interesting year, and as all you attested to, like, making connections, whether within the Highlander or outside of it or outside of the campus in general, and just making community members and things, has been great. And, yeah, so I'm excited to see what next year holds. I wanted to talk about your guys' summer a bit, but we got caught up in this discussion, and we're coming on the last minute or so here. But if you want to shout out plans for summer, places you're excited to go to, you can just yell it out at once. Anybody? Anybody?
Road trip to Washington and then family vacation to Alaska.
Cool. Right.
Trip to Florida.
Trip to Greece.
Oh, man.
Okay.
Nice. I'm traveling, man.
Miles?
I'm going to be here. I'm going to be in L.A., actually. But, yeah, so I'm not traveling this time. I went to Germany last summer, I guess. I don't know. Does that count?
Yes.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah,
yeah.
Not traveling this time. But anyways, yeah, this has been not only another edition, but the absolute, the ultimate, the only, excuse me, the last one of the year, last edition of Highlander Newsroom of the year. And again, could not do it without the people at KUCR for allowing us to use their very dark and dimly lit intimate studios, which I like it. I like the aesthetic.
Yeah, studio feel.
Yeah, shadow puppets can be made in here. But yeah, and could not do it without you guys obviously showing up. Evan, you showed up for the majority of them. You tried to show up when you could, Jasper, and I appreciate it. Your first one, so hopefully next year you come through more often, Andreas. But yeah, so could not do it without everyone at KCR, so thank you to them. Thank you to, yeah, Elliot Fawn, Tina Bold, Eddie Valencia, Monica Taylor, and Louis Vandenberg. And yeah, again, all of you for listening. And while we're talking about the station, I should acknowledge that it's important to preserve as much independent media as you can, and the station is what falls under that. And as you guys may know, the demolition of family housing, right, in the North Campus expansion plan did not, at least on the map, have KUCR on the map, right? It doesn't mean the station in and of itself will cease to exist, but it does potentially mean that the current facilities that we are in can be demolished at any given time. And it's been a lot of gray area as in regards to whether KUCR will be a part of that demolition when family housing eventually is demolished this summer. But it's important nonetheless for you guys to rally around and hopefully try to help preserve the station at its current location. You can't just move a station like you can a house, right?
Yeah.
So many other factors Absolutely. That go into that.
Yeah.
And yeah, right now the existence of KUCR at this current location is threatened, so you can send any thoughts and support over to savekucr@gmail.com, or simply for more information, head over to kucr.org/support. And if you look at page 3 of the last two issues, issue 31 and issue 30, KUCR has put out two advertisements which talk more in detail about the current situation, and there's more to come. So again, thank you all for listening, and any regular listeners out there, we appreciate you all year. Yeah, we'll be back with you, I guess, next year. So thank you.